Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Joseph Freeman was a preacher for the Holiness Church when the U.S. Army stationed him in Hawaii. He made a life-changing decision to visit the Polynesian Cultural Center, where not only he changed his religion, but he met his future wife. Check out our conversation. So while you were in Hawaii, you made a trip to the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, it began like this. I used to go to church every week, and I got together with two other young men. They happened to be black guys. One was really tall, the other one a little bit shorter, and then me. I'm quite short. And one was very light complected, the other a little bit of brown, and then I'm very dark. So we were like the Three Stooges. but we would go to church all the time. And in the middle of the week, usually a Wednesday night meeting, and then on Sundays. And that's the way our days were spent, every weekend. Well, we also were people that loved to fast and pray. Almost every weekend, we would pray all night Friday night and break our fast Saturday morning. And so on this one occasion, I fasted for a week. I took a week off from the military and stayed out on the Waianae coast with my car and my tent. And I didn't eat or drink for 5 days and five nights. And I just prayed and asked God. I wanted to be close to the Lord. At the end of that time period, I did not receive what I was looking for. But I don't know if anyone could just, you know, have God come down and touch you, kind of thing. But I felt that I would receive it shortly thereafter. 2 months later, I had met a young man that I knew, actually. He was a Spanish young fellow. His name was Sergeant Reyes. He was a young minister also in the Holiness faith. And he asked if I would go with him to American Samoa and play the piano. And he would do the preaching for a revival, which would last a week. And I agreed to do that. But we couldn't get a flight. We were trying to get a military hop. So in the end, I stayed and he left. And he and his wife, they went there. And while I was downtown, I took a room at YMCA. And I spent a week, you know, just kind of seeing Hawaii as a tourist. And there was a tour going to the Polynesian Culture Center. And so I took that tour. It was free, and they provided a bus as well as the tickets to go in. And so I went on that tour. And that's when I met the Mormons. I was quite surprised because I had met one Mormon who gave me a Book of Mormon back in Louisiana. And he wanted to argue about the church being true. And I didn't want to argue about it. So he gave me the book and I just took it with me. I hadn't read it. Now here I was at the Culture Center and I met Mormon people. I was thinking that Mormons wore these tall black hats, you know, looked like the Amish and looked like Brigham Young. Because I checked out a book when I was in high school about Mormons. And it talked about Brigham Young as being a great colonizer. And I knew just a little bit about the Amish people and Mennonites, and they still look like the picture of Brigham Young. So I was expecting Mormons to look like that, you know, but there were no horses and buggies out there, just a few Cadillacs in the parking lot, and everybody looked like everyone else. But here I was walking around on a tour talking to these people, and I was really surprised at how nice they were to me. Because this is a time that, you know, there had been marching. Martin Luther King had been killed in 68. And a lot of white people and black people didn't see eye to eye. We were having culture classes, race classes taught in the military. We'd sit out in the sun 4 hours, you know, in the morning, just listening to somebody lecture about black and white relationships. And I don't know where they even got all that material to talk. But there we were. It was mandatory classes because they were trying to break down those problems. between black and white people and Spanish people. There were times that you'd go into mess hall and a Spanish guy would be talking to another Spanish guy and it's just moving his hands a lot. And a guy would just stand up, particularly the white guys, and go over and hit the guy and knock him off his chair because he didn't know what he was saying. You know, he couldn't understand Spanish. And, you know, to see someone gesturing, they think you're talking about them. Oh, wow. And so for a while, the colonel banned the speaking of Spanish. They had to speak English, everybody. Wow. And so, you know, things were different in those days. Well, the same problem exists. Black and white people growing up in different areas. You hadn't grown up around black people. You don't know what they're like. You see them in their own little group and you think that's your enemy and that's your fellow soldier, you know? And so problems like that were occurring. And when I went off the base, you didn't see black guys hanging with white guys. Every now and then, one or two would be together that, you know, created that friendship. But for the most part, the black groups were there and the white groups were there. Spanish, the same. But here I was now, you know, associating a lot with different people. The guy that I was going to go on this revival with, he was Spanish. And his wife was Samoan. And they went to American Samoa. Well, here at the Culture Center, all of these people are Polynesian. And I had never seen Polynesian before. I thought that they were all Hawaiians. I didn't know there was a Samoan, Tongan, Fijian, Tahitian, Micronesian, the people from French Polynesia and so forth, Solomon Island, and all of those people, different. And they all spoke different languages and had similar cultures, but different. And so here at the Culture Center, they showed me, you know, six different islands of people and their song and dance and their culture. And it was just amazing. I stopped walking on the tour and I walked around just to meet the people, to just feel of their spirit and see, were they real or are they pretending? And somewhere that morning, I met a young girl, big brown eyes, and I said, Talofa. And I knew she was Samoan. She turned around amazed that I could speak any of her language. And we started talking. We talked probably 5 or 10 minutes. And then at the end of the day, it was near time for me to leave, probably 4 or 5 o'clock. I missed my bus and I decided to catch a regular bus back. And I talked to that young girl again. We spent 2 hours talking. And she shared with me her testimony of Joseph Smith and the church. And she had just completed a mission in her own country to Samoa. And so, as we talk, I was interested. I was interested probably more in her than I was in the church. But, you know, I enjoyed going to church anywhere. And so I was willing to listen to whatever she had to say about her religion. And then the next 2 or 3 weeks, I went back to the Culture Center to try to find her. I couldn't. She was a student, and so she had different hours. And I didn't understand what, you know, I thought she was just working the same thing every day. But a friend of hers took my phone number, which was a military number, and gave it to her. And a few days later, she called me. And so this is almost a month later. And we talked next 2 weeks over the phone. She told me about blacks and the priesthood and the church position.
And they couldn't, yeah. You couldn't have the priesthood back then.
That's right.
So this is 1972?
73. So at this point, after talking for a couple of weeks, I asked her about going out. And she accepted. We went out on a date. I think we went to a movie. The first night I had borrowed a car from a friend. No, maybe at that point I had bought a car, yes, and I had a little Mustang, and we started dating. It was very difficult dating this young girl because everyone was telling her she shouldn't date a black guy, you know, because I couldn't hold a priesthood. The people told her, your children will not be born in the covenant. You can't be sealed in the temple, and even baptism for the dead, you can't even have it that way. So it was kind of disappointing in a way, but I still loved her, and she didn't know what to do with that situation. She went to her bishop. He told her, well, I think you shouldn't date the guy. And she went to her mission president. He said, I will fix your papers and I'll send you to school in New Zealand. You can get away from that guy. And then she went to the state president, which was President Maelo.
So she must have really liked you.
Well, I think a little bit anyway. And the state president was Samoan. And I think he was the first Samoan state president in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. His area covered like from Waihewa all the way to Kaneohe, which is quite a large area. Probably there's 10 or 15 stakes in that area now. So
you're on the island of Oahu, is that right?
Yes, yeah. That's right, okay. The main island. But he told her, he said, what does your heart tell you to do? What does your heart tell you? And she had to really think about it, you know, instead of just thinking I'm going to do what my leaders tell me. And she made up her mind that she would continue dating me. And about a year later, we got married. But it was a roller coaster because I would visit her at the school, you know, and people were friendly, but not overly friendly to me. They kind of like looking out the side of their eye at me, wondering, what am I doing over here? But still, I feel like she overcame that. I didn't have a problem with that, you know, because I had been around white people and black people who didn't like me, both sides, and it didn't matter, you know. I had to live my own life. Mm-hmm. And in the military, you learn you got to stand up for your stuff and stand on your own feet. It's just a part of growing up. Well.
So now you went right to getting married. You got baptized in between there, didn't you?
I got baptized probably about 3 or 4 months. I began to listen to the missionaries. On our second date, she made an appointment with the missionaries. And she said, I want you to meet some of my friends. They're ministers like you. And I didn't know anything about the missionaries. And so we met.
She knew you had been a holiness preacher, right?
Yes, that's right.
So that's why she said that. Okay.
That's right. So I met with the missionaries. We talked. They encouraged me to read the Book of Mormon. Everything they talked about with Jesus Christ, the things I already knew, because, you know, basically I'd been reading the Bible all my life. And so their main thing was to encourage me to read the Book of Mormon. And in the beginning, I wasn't that interested in doing it. But she asked me, she said, will you read the Book of Mormon? And of course, big brown eyes, you can't resist that. You have to do whatever she asks. So I started reading the Book of Mormon. And I know before I got through First Nephi, the first 25 pages, I knew the book was true. Mm-hmm. And as I began to read it, I changed wards. I was attending, just going all the way across the island where she was to go to church. And a friend of mine, his name was Sergeant Myers, he was inactive. And I had told him about her. He said, I want to become active. And so let's go to church together. And he was married and he wanted his wife to hear the gospel also. She was from Korea, but she wasn't interested. So he called the bishop in Waihewa, which Lawrence Brewington was his name. And the bishop said, I will meet you on Sunday. And he was there outside the church. And when we drove up, Sergeant Myers, both of us, we got out and walked in, and he and the bishop took us and introduced us to people in the congregation, and it just made us feel welcome. I know there were other military families there, but it seemed like it was a civilian ward, but there was, you know, military as well. I just felt totally comfortable. His approach was just so kind and nice, and it's like he didn't even see color when he looked at me. He just saw me the same as anybody else. Whereas, you know, when I was growing up, definitely people would see color when they saw you. But then they didn't treat you bad, though. I mean, it was still treated you human and nice. Um, But there was a difference, and you could feel it and tell it sometimes. Well, anyway, I can remember either, whether it was that Sunday or the next Sunday, Fast Sunday came along. And as people bore testimonies, there was a couple of young people who, when they bore the testimony, it really touched me. One was a young girl and the other a young guy. They were about my age. And as they bore their testimonies, they said that I know that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God and that the church is true and the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. When I left that meeting, I was thinking, I want to know what they know, and I want to know it like they know it. I didn't go back and pray and ask God to reveal it to me, but I had it in my heart. I want to know if it's true. And by Wednesday that week, I was reading the Book of Mormon. And there came a feeling over me. That feeling said, this book is the Word of God. And then I thought about it. If this book is true, truly the Word of God, then the man that translated it has to be a prophet of God. And if that's true, this church is true. And I want to be a member of it. And so I made up my mind right then. I wanted to be baptized. And this was maybe the third set of missionaries I had been talking to. And so the next day I met with them. And I don't know if they asked me or I said to them, but I just know I told them I wanted to be baptized. And by the end of that week, they finished the discussions and set up an appointment with the bishop. And we had the baptism on that following Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. And so... the Culture Center is very special to me. And of course, the Samoan people are also very special. And I married that young Samoan girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so her name is?
Toi Isabella Leituala was her maiden name. And of course, she had to get used to being called Freeman. That's quite a change. But now we've been married about 46 years, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Joseph Freeman. In our next conversation, Joseph will describe how he felt as he came out of the waters of baptism.
But as I was dipped into the water, I came up. There was just a beautiful feeling. It's like, you could, I guess if I could describe it like this, standing under the, how should I say, like an April shower. Outside, and it's just cool and refreshing. And I felt like I was washed clean, cleaner than I'd ever been in my life. And that was just a very special feeling as I joined the church.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruptions. If you'd like to see the whole video, that's just $8 a month, and you can sign up either at youtube.com/gospeltangents or on our website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button, or you can go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and I'll just need to make sure that we're Facebook friends, and I'll add you to our insiders group, and you can see the entire interview uncut. If you'd like to get PDF transcripts of our interviews, those are just $10 a month. And for just $15 a month, I will send you paperback versions of our transcripts as soon as they come out. Or, of course, you can buy them on Amazon as well. Go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all of our transcripts there. Don't forget to sign up for our updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Of course, you can follow us at Gospel Tangents on Twitter. To hear our interviews updated to your podcast player, go to tinyurl.com/gospeltangents and make sure you give us a 5-star review. And of course, you should show your support for Gospel Tangents with one of these cool t-shirts like this green one, or light blue, sport gray, royal blue, purple, of course black, beautiful gold, and of course Utah red. I've probably left out some colors, but if you want to see more, go to gospeltangents.com/shop and you can get one of these. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.